Blog Talk Radio.
Testing, testing.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed, and we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
You're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Block Talk Radio. Revolutionary Life. I'm your host, Gary. If you're new here, welcome. Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night. We're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Here at Revolutionary Life, we talk about things that affect our lives every day. The difference is we address those things from a revolutionary point of view. And if you don't know what that means, that revolution just means change. And there's a whole lot of things out here that need to be changed. Revolution just means change, and the revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of that change. So we try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here. The topic for tonight is men versus women. Exactly who wins in this war? Now, I didn't just come up with that, guys. I've seen several things recently, just this week on YouTube and other places, where there is this concept, this debate about high-value men and high-value women and relationships between men and women, and women who are just out for men's money, and men who are just out for women's bodies. And the beat goes on. And so it's almost like a game. You got to learn to play the game, they say. And so it's almost like a game, the dating game, men taking you out, paying the way for your, I guess, for the privilege of having you in their presence for a while. You know, if a man wants to talk to a woman, if a man wants to talk to a woman, he gets it. In the old days, he'd get her phone number, or she'd give him the number. He'd approach her and get her number, and he'd get a chance to talk to her over the phone, et cetera, et cetera. If he wanted to know her more, he wanted to spend more time with her, he might ask her out. Now, this is all about getting to know who this person is. It's all about. And whether this is going to be a thing or not and all that good stuff. Because y'all just met, right? And so if she agrees to go out with you, you generally will pay the way for her agreeing. It's like taking a girl to the prom, you know? You pay the way for her agreeing to be your date to the prom. I mean, you even ask her, will you be my date to the prom? And if she agrees, then you don't expect her to pay the way in or the buy the whatever. And so for her presence, her time, or the time, I should put it that way, guys. It's not just her time. It's yours, too. In order to get the time to holler, in order to get the time to talk to her, in order to get this time to run it down, to run your game down, to show her what you're made of and where you're coming from and find out who she is and where she's coming from, da-da-da-da-da, you foot the bill. You take her out. You ask her out. She agrees. You take her out. And when you take somebody out, right, you want to make sure you understand that you've invited them. You've invited her out, right? So when you invite people to your house or to an event, unless you tell them to bring something, then they figure, okay, I'm a guest. I was asked out by this man, the woman will say. And if I agreed to go out with him, for me and him, it's going to work out. For me and him, it's a time for us to get to know each other. That's for sure. So the time, however, since the man did the asking, the time is paid for by him. He's going to buy the dinner, the drinks, the movie, whatever. But the goal, of course, is to spend more time one-on-one with this person. How do I do that? I invite her out. or I meet her out. I go out with her, right? Or, you know, we talked on the phone, we talk over the internet, and social media, da-da-da-da-da. But this time we're going out together. It's me and her face-to-face, right? And so for the privilege of doing that, for the time to do that, you have these dates. Now you're face-to-face. Now you see what you got. You can hear, see, smell, and taste. You can apply all your senses, how you know anything. You apply all your senses to it. That's how you know it. I saw it. I heard it. I smelled it. I tasted it. So if you now you can say you know something about it. And so you want to actually interact directly with her. So you invite her out. That's what dating's all about. Just, I don't know. I'm looking at YouTube and I'm seeing this issue about wasting time dating women or whatever, or women taking men out, paying the bill and that kind of thing. Here's the thing, guys. It's just so y'all get to know each other. You may not go anywhere from there, but you will never know until you get up close and personal what you got. Can't tell what you got over the internet. You can't really tell what you got on no telephone call. I don't care how good it sounds. It looks in video on TV. You really got to meet her. And so what's the cost of that? Whoever pays it are getting the same thing out of it, to tell the truth. The time to find out who this is and if this is worth continuing. And as a young teenager, you usually find that out at the end of the date, right, to see if she's going to give you a kiss at the door. When you get older, it'll be about being invited in and that kind of thing. However, or agreeing to another date. It serves both purposes. Somebody's going to pay to make this time, this particular arena, available over dinner or at a club or over drinks. You need to create an arena in which you both can come without any help, without anybody with you, face to face, and get to know each other. And do what you're going to do, talk, say what you're going to say, look for what you're going to look for. Somebody needs to make that space available. And if both of y'all make it available, ain't no harm in that. If the woman makes it available because she has the money and the time and the resources, somebody needs to make it available. Period. If y'all want to get together, if y'all want to check each other out, it needs to be made available. You don't sit back and wait until he's able to make it available, maybe. I don't know. But it needs to happen. And the date needs to happen. Oh, yeah, it's got to happen. But who you got? All right? Now, the brother was talking about a war between men and women. Women out to get men out to smash women. And so women play it off. Women use their bodies, you know, like you see on Instagram. I'm not the only one who see this shit on Instagram and everything. And if you turn your back when you're taking a picture, you might look around at the camera, but you have your back turned to the camera. What are you really taking a picture of? Anyway, guys, so certain things that is advertised and all that ain't real. Y'all seen catfishing and all that bullshit. And so at some point, y'all need to meet. Sometimes that will just seal the deal. You can make a long story short sometimes. And so, is there a war, though? Is there really a war going on? And what is the war? What ground we're fighting for? Who's running shit? Who's going to be in charge? Who wear the pants in the house? Is that the war, guys? Who wear the pants? Who got the power? Who has the last say? Is that what the war is all about? Leadership. Who's the head of the thing? Who's going to run this thing? Who's going to make the final decision? Who's going to be the ordinate and who's going to be the subordinate in this situation, in this organization called the family or a relationship or marriage? These things are very important. It doesn't seem like they should be, shouldn't it? But we know better than that. Grown folks know better than that. If you got out the house and walked around the block a few times, you know love, love. You know love, love might get y'all together. But you're talking about maintaining a relationship, like a marriage where you love, where you promise to love until death do you part. That's kind of, that could be a long time. And so are you putting together something for the long run? So love and that attraction is real sometimes, and however, whether y'all can live together is totally different. You'd be surprised how many people can get along together when they're dating, when they like each other, when they fall in love with each other. But you'd be surprised how many of those people can't live with each other, or won't, or don't. It looks like you would think if we loved each other, we'd be together, attracted like a magnet, like we did when we were in love or when we first met or whatever. But over time, well, maintenance of that type of relationship it changes into something new. And if you didn't sign up for that something new, it's kind of strange. Let me explain something. If you're a young teenager and you post-pubescent, you in your full, you got hair, you got pubic hair, you ready to roll, right? You having dreams, all kind of good shit. And you're looking for a girlfriend, going out to parties, clubs, with your guys, and all y'all trying to find a girl or friend, girlfriend. All right. So you're driven, not by just your nature, but also society. Also the boys you hang around with, the dudes, your friends. Right? They could be capping on you because you ain't got none yet. Because you have never had sex. And so you're in a hurry to get that out of the way. So you can't be one of them boys in the crowd who are virgin, because they talking about what they did last night and this, that, and another, and you ain't got nothing to add unless you lie about it. There's pressure, guys. Peer pressure out there for boys, for sure. And so you're ready to seal the deal the first chance you get as a boy, young boy. Believe me. All this dating stuff, yeah, you may have to go on a date, but boy, what you really want to do is to say you had sex. Now you're grown. Now you're a man. There's no war. There is no war. I see no war. I see men and women fighting and arguing over shit. Power, money, children, custody, any number of things. But there is no real war going on. If anybody tells you there's a war going on, maybe that's somebody promoting a war. You know, I don't know why anybody would want there to be a war. There are some reasons out there that make sense to me. You see, let's take, for example, working. Women doing the same job as men. Now, I came up in a time when a lot of working people were organized into unions and things like that, where they had contracts with the employer, legal contracts on what they're going to get paid and all that, where they, you know, they could go on strike and shut the company down if the company wasn't acting right, all right, or meeting their demands. But men were mostly the ones doing that. Men had these jobs that they could walk out on. You know, I came up in a time when the sanitation worker strike was a big strike in my town, historic strike of workers walking off the job. Now, these were mostly men at that time. And so because women had been domesticated, or domestics, housewives, put it that way. Many of them didn't have job experience, but I watched in 10 years women start driving trucks, climbing telephone poles and power lines, digging ditches, just things you would ordinarily think you'd see a man do, right? But they didn't have a history of labor working out here, right? So literally, many times women would take lower wages, even though there was a union out there of men who fought for better wages and working conditions, who know how to get, you know, who have a history of organizing and fighting for better wages and that kind of thing. But when the women hit the workforce, they didn't have that union background, that labor background, that labor unity among themselves even. In many cases. And so they worked cheaper. They came into these jobs and agreed to take less pay. They came into these jobs unorganized. So they didn't represent any power as a labor force because they were disparate. They were different. And there's only a few of them here or there. They didn't have much power as a labor force. They weren't interested in unions. They didn't know the history of labor unions, you know, participation in labor unions that in most cities. I just didn't. The first job my mother got, y'all, this is a true story. I don't tell any other guy, by the way. This is a true story, unless I give you a heads up. This is fiction or something. This is a true story. The first job my mother got, the first decent, well-paying position that had possibility of, you know, upward bound movement that my mother got, she crossed a picket line. You know what that is? She crossed a picket line to get it. Single mother. My mom was a single mother. So she didn't know that the big hiring push that was going on by this institution was because there were workers out on strike. She had no idea. All she knew is she got hired. And before she knew it, she was going back and forth to work across a picket line. But it's the best job she ever had. Trained for it and finally got it. only to find out she was a scab, or it's what they call people who cross picket lines. But she don't have a history of labor organizing. She understood that. I'm sure she understood that, what was going on. But she stayed with that company through the strike. Eventually it was over. For long till she retired. But she crossed the picket line. Women could be brought into the workforce to increase the number of people asking for the same job. If you do that, you lower the wages. You see, you live in a capitalist economy. Abundance lowers the price. Scarcity raises the cost. So if there ain't enough workers, or if the workers are asking for too much money on benefits and whatnot, all they need is a new workforce to come in and compete for those same jobs, if possible. And more competition comes in. If it could be in, on the East Coast, on the West Coast, it was immigrants. Right? Back in my day, it was women newly entering the workforce. Like I said, it was back in those days, it was like a surprise to see women in certain positions that men were formerly had. Right? Your telephone pole worker from AT&T or whatnot comes out and climbs up the pole and you realize that's a woman up there. And that was nothing now, today, but back then that was strange. That was surprising. You didn't doubt whether she'd do the job or not. That wasn't it. The thing was, is that it was that's a woman. Anyway, so women were used in the labor movement. Well, I have a great deal of experience in labor organizing, guys. Maybe y'all don't know that history of mine. But that history was good enough to show me how women entered the labor movement as unknowingly, as a way of weakening the labor movement. Most union members were men. Most workers in some of these places were men. Some of these particular jobs were men. I don't remember seeing any women sanitation workers when I came up. So when the sanitation strike went down, you saw mostly men on the picket line. And they had, and men have a whole history of labor all the way back to the 1800s, labor movement. And so, but women were new to the labor force. They were new to signing up for unions and becoming part of a labor organizations and all that, fighting for better wages and working conditions. They were just getting there. They was glad to have these well-paying jobs that men used to have. They needed the money, especially my mom, who was a single mother. She had trained for this job. She wasn't just going to walk away from it. She didn't. She crossed that picket line. And women all over this country crossed picket lines going to work at jobs that they used to couldn't get or wasn't considered a woman's job. And so who gained from that? Corporations. Because they could keep you, they could get, not only, they could have some competition for your job. If they got competition for your job, they can always turn to you and say, well, if you don't take it, I'll give it to somebody else. There's a line out there waiting. If you don't want it at that wage, at those hours, I give it to somebody else. There's a woman out there new to the workforce. She'll put them hours in for that money. It's probably more than she had if she would be a housewife or on welfare. And so they used women to break labor back in those days. So yeah, a war between men and women, sometimes it's just divisive, guys. It's not real. Just use nature as your guide. I know you think you're better than nature. Even though without it, you'd be a dead. You'd be dead in the water if you didn't have food from nature, air from nature, water from nature, clothes and fabrics from nature, wood to build your houses from nature. But you don't give a shit about nature, except for what you can get out of it. Well, I got news for you. You can't fool Mother Nature. Man, just keep trying, but he always fails. It's a futile effort. Nature will catch up with you. And then you'll have this kind of shit going on. In nature, is there a war between men and women? Do you think? In nature, are there women, stay-at-home women? I mean, not just among mammals, but we could stick with our own phylum, our own place in the animal kingdom, mammals. We're mammalians, right? We have live birth. We feed our young by milk, mammary glands. That's why we have mammary glands, because we're mammals. We're closer to mammal animals than anything else, right? Gorillas, all like bears, whatever. And so, is there war going on out there? They seem to be surviving. Save for us getting in the way. Animals seem to be going along doing what they do and surviving. There's no stay-at-home wives in a lion's den. In fact, anytime you see lions hunting, you will often see the female hunting. And men will be hunting too, but they'd be hunting alone by themselves. They don't want to share much with other men, but the females hunt together. There's no stay-at-home moms. Nature don't domesticate its women. We do. Women are free to pick and choose in nature. And nature figured that out, that if a woman could survey the herd and pick and choose, she could carry the genes of the best and the brightest among the herd. So that her children will live a better life than she did. She will want to pass on genes that she's seen in that herd among the men, that she'd like for her sons and daughters to have. Every mother, it's not uncommon to hear mothers say, or a parent say, that I want my kid to have a better life than I did. Well, in nature, that's secured by the woman picking the genes that she'd prefer to pass on. Now, how she picked those genes in a herd varies, but oftentimes it involves watching the men bump heads. Cattle go at each other, two male lions going at each other, trying to pass their lineage on through her. But she'll wait till that fight's over. She ain't going nowhere. She might get out of the way if they get too rambunctious. Elephants, same thing. But when that fight is over, she didn't go nowhere. She's still right there. The queen bee, when she gets ready to mate, she flies straight up. She's the only bee that flies in a straight line. The rest of the bees you see go around and around in circles and shit. The queen bee, when she's ready to mate, she flies straight in the air as fast as she can. And only the bee that catches her among the drones, the only one that catches her, can mate with her. She ain't playing games, y'all. Her job is to see that her kids survive better than she did. So she ain't looking to generate down. She's looking to generate up. So all that fighting you see animals doing during musk, when they're female deer and whatnot are in heat. they call it. She's standing back. All the women are standing back watching. And it is important to them that they pick the most capable stag or the most capable bull or the most capable pet genes to pass on. The only way she can get those genes is through sexual intercourse. But she see what she wants. She see the characteristics. This happens even in our society, just different, guys. You can't fool Mother Nature. How many times have you seen, you've heard women or young girls especially say something like, girl, if you have a baby by that guy, your baby will have some good hair. Hair is a characteristic that is prized. And so your baby will have that hair. Well, one way for you to pass that hair on to your child, and that's through sexual intercourse. Well, maybe good hair is not a priority in the animal world. Maybe strength and durability and tenaciousness and the ability to fight and to hang in there and to provide or whatever is what she's looking for. Not good hair or skin color or anything like that. She might be looking at skin color. She might be looking at colored fur. She might find out that short fur is not doing so well as the weather begins to get colder and colder in that area, if the climate changes. The short hairs are not surviving well. The ones who are born with the longer hair seems to be surviving better in these new colder climates, and so she will gravitate over to them to get those genes. So her kids will have more hair and be able to survive better in a colder environment. It seems in nature it's her job almost. It almost seems it's her job to progress the race, the species, to take it another level. It's her job to take us another level. When she knows what her job is, she will pick and choose the best traits. I mean, if she's in a monogamous relationship, like our relationships, if she tried picking and choosing traits other than the husband she married, she could be in trouble. The relationship would be in trouble. That's not the way nature works. Nature don't put rings on people's fingers, male or female. There's no stay-at-home moms. The only kind of, you might find birds who trade up staying at home at the nest, but they're sitting on an egg. They're not feeding the kids. They're sitting on an egg to keep it warm. That kind of thing. But in most cases in nature, there are no stay-at-home moms. Forget about it. Stay-at-home mom was invented, guys. Stay-at-home moms were invented, guys. Why was stay-at-home moms were invented? Stay-at-home moms were invented to take her out of the wild and domesticate her to raise your kids and to keep your house and your place there. And you didn't have the money, let's say, or the wherewithal, like a rich man, to have slaves do your labor, keep your house for you while you were out and about. And so you had a woman and possibly children to carry out your work. She had to be domesticated because that is not her nature. That is not her nature. That is not her nature. I was raised by a single mother. She crossed the picket line. She understood about unions. I'm sure she did. And worker solidarity just wasn't there for her. Feeding us was there for her, her kids. She crossed the picket line, her first good job. How about that? It wasn't her fault. It was a setup. Nobody told her she was being hired, that this big hiring push they were doing was because they were on strike in some of those, at some of their locations. And so she's going to survive. She's not going to stay home and wait for somebody to feed her, clothe her, and house her. There's only two people who need to be fed, clothed, and housed. And those are babies, children, and people who are invalids who can't feed, clothe, and house themselves. Anybody who can feed, clothe, and house themselves, who asks you to do it, is cheating themselves at life, to tell the truth. They're cheating themselves out of life, out of living. Yeah. I know women who've been housewives all their lives, and now their husband is dead, and they don't even know how to deal with the bills and the day-to-day stuff of running the house or the business he left behind or the properties that he owns or whatever. They didn't get out much. They was too busy having babies, staying home barefoot and pregnant. Domesticating women were to enrich the men. Nothing else. You live in a patrilineal society. Patrilineal means male-run society. 2 weeks ago at least, it may be longer now, I knew a woman who's into the churches all around the city. She knows all the churches and the preachers and whatnot. And she was telling me about how difficult it is for a woman to be a minister in a church, to lead a church. You live in a patrilineal society where the institutions are run by men. The infrastructure of the society is held by men. And women have no place in it for centuries. No matter what your race was. If you were female, it didn't matter. If you were female, baby, you were property. Adultery laws, what do you call it? Cheating. Adultery. Cheating laws are trespassing laws. They're property laws. Because women were considered property. So you were oppressed as a woman. And much of the history of that oppression lingers today. The ideology that pushed that oppression. Now, that was an ideology that says, even in your biblical texts in some religions, they talked about disciplining your woman. See, women had a place. And you were responsible for keeping your woman in her place. And she could get in trouble for getting out of her place. And it wasn't against the law to beat her, by the way. The tradition where European men came home and kissed their wives at the end of the day when domesticating women were the thing to do. He didn't come home and kiss her because he loved her. He missed her all day. That tradition occurred because you came home and you checked if your wife had been drinking or smoking while you were at work. You smelled her breath in her clothes. You didn't come home and say, hey, honey, how was your day today? That tradition came from men coming home from work, checking their wives to see if they'd been smoking because women were not allowed to smoke. Decent women. And... or drink. You see, you were domesticated, baby. And so when feminism came along, I quite understood feminism because I know what oppression looks like. I happen to be born with a family lineage that suffered great oppression. And so I know what oppression looks like and must feel like. And I know when people have been oppressed for a long time, when they spring out, when they fight for their freedom, they fight. And sometimes they bend the twig the other way just a little too far. And I call that feminism. Yeah, you got a fight because you've been oppressed. I heard that. And yeah, you got a lot to, males got a lot to own up for. They kept you out of a lot of arenas. There were jobs you could never get. Those things are changing little by little in our society, but they're only changing as corporations and money makers can play the game as change occurs. They're riding the change, making money off of it. And now they got you ready to fight men, some of these feminist guys, some of the stuff I'm seeing, I can't believe, but some of these feminists saying down with all men kind of thing, and that kind of shit. This is ridiculous. That fight is not a real fight, guys. It's contrived. Toxic masculinity. Yes. But that fight isn't a fight. All of that is a social education, social programming issue. You were taught this, and I was too. Don't tell me you weren't. You're expected by your society to do certain things. So you got pressure coming from those places as well. So you're being told to conform. You're not being told to go with your heart. I know women were oppressed. You do too. I know that the wedding ring used to be a band. They didn't call it a ring. They called it a wedding band. And the band didn't go around your fingers. It went around your wrist. Men drug women to the altar. That's where you got your wedding bands. Kings who wanted to unite with a second kingdom would marry their daughters off to the sons of another kingdom to bring their two kingdoms together. They didn't give a damn what the girl wanted or the boy. You didn't make that decision. There are arranged marriages today in certain countries, where the parents decide who you're going to get together with. So guys, the Abrahamic, the Judeo-Christian, the traditions in these institutions who are anti-female, they are. There's just no two ways about it. When the woman says, that is when the church lady told me that it's very difficult for a woman to become a minister in a church. I'm wondering why. They preach out of the same Bible, don't they? Are they preaching something different than the men preach? Yeah, but people won't go to a church, or people want something about you as a woman that won't allow you into that religious world, that spiritual world. And you don't know why, but it pays them to keep, to oppress you for the longest time. Now that you have come up and you're fighting for this right and that right, they've got a new scheme of playing you off against the men. You'll take less pay than he will because you want that job. You want to be the first woman to be blah, 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 blah. Or because you need it. They will play you one against another. If you let them. But I used to practice martial arts. And my teacher had a saying, better with rather than better than. My teacher had a saying that all of us were to learn. And that is, we are better with We are to be better with rather than better than. Women ain't the most important. Men ain't the most important. We are better together as one than we are separated. The duality of male and woman is no mistake. Nature doesn't make them kind of mistakes over and over and over and over again. But this whole concept of marriage, the social contract, where you register with the government, where you file joint taxes, this is all social, man. It ain't got nothing to do with people's lives. This got to do with making money and accountability. Yeah, you got to file a joint tax return. Is she working in you working? They're all up in your business. It's a financial relationship. Cost money to get in, cost money to get out. Marriage. There is nothing like it. There's very little examples like that in a surviving nature and an evolving biology, life. Monogamy means that the woman doesn't pick and choose based on the traits she wants her kids to have. Because once she's married to one person, every child she renders to this earth will have the traits of that one guy. Good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, let's hope that guy's got everything he needs for to produce a child that is ready to take on the world, that's ready to live a better life than he lived, health-wise, economically, etc. In nature, she picks and chooses. And so a species progresses. The children are better able to survive than the last generation. And then they will pick and choose. Those females will pick and choose. And males will demonstrate their abilities in front of them, whether that's fighting or, you see, in nature, guys, I know you think you're better in nature, but in nature, man tries to get the woman's attention, right? Not the other way around. The peacock with all the beautiful feathers, that's the man. That's the male. The pea chicken or the pea hen, they call it pea hen, she don't have those feathers. The red bird, the one that's shockingly red, is the male. The female red bird is brown. With a little orange beak, yellowish orange beak. The lion, the male has a big mane around his head. The female doesn't have any hair around the neck. It's always in nature, it's always the male that dresses up. It's always the male that wants her attention. It's always the male that's trying to prove to her that I got you. I'm the one. And I've seen females walk up to a peacock and he spread his feathers and strut his stuff. And instead of her coming over there, she turned around and walked away. Poor guy be working hard, spreading his feathers and strutting back and forth, hoping she'd come on over. And she turned around and walked away. Sooner he keeps it up, though, and then sooner or later, one of them may back up to him. But other than that, he plays every one of them he see. If he see a female, he go into a little routine. Whoop them feathers out, whoop them around, and she sees all these feathers, he thinking, I got it going on. And sometimes she just turns around and walk away. But the dude's doing the work, guys, to say to the woman, I'm the one you want to have your babies. I mean, you want to have babies, but now there is no war between men and women. If anybody tell you that is, if anybody, you find anybody trying to foment the idea that there's a war between men and women, everybody, I'll tell you, not in nature there isn't. So if there's a war between men and women, it's unnatural. Another name for that is it's artificial. Somebody getting paid off of you fighting each other. Hurting each other. No, better with instead of better than is how we survive. Better with, not better than. If society is not going to tell you that, they want a cat and mouse game going on between you and men. You got secrets and they got secrets. You don't know where they coming from. They don't know where you coming from. No trust, all that good shit. You don't have to. You don't have to worry about what other people's intentions are towards you when you got your shit together. You don't have to spend time checking people's phones and emails and all that bullshit when you got your shit together. You don't worry about what other people's intentions are towards you when you got your shit together. Because you know they can't hurt you. They can't take anything from you. If I provide your food, clothing, and shelter, then you're a pet. And the first day I treat you like a child or an invalid, you're going to get upset. I know how to do stuff. You don't have to talk to me like a child. That's what you're going to say. Don't talk to me like a child. Well, I'm not an invalid. I can do things for myself. You don't have to do everything for me. I'm going to go to the store. That's okay. I'm on my way out. I go to the store for you. You stay here. I can do things for myself. I don't need you to do everything. All right. So here's the thing, baby. If I'm taking care of you, there ain't but two people that need taken care of, and that's invalids, people who can't take care of themselves, and children. If you want me to take care of you, don't be surprised if I relate to you like one of those two things. If all of a sudden dude is talking to you like you're a child, all of a sudden dude treating you like you're an invalid and can't do shit for your own self. You better ask yourself, have I put myself in a child or an invalid's position by asking them to take care of me? That's walking into a situation. Take care of your business. Like I said, I was raised by a single mom. It's not like she didn't have men friends. I was raised by a single mom. I know the importance of a male and a child's life. But that doesn't mean you got to marry somebody. That doesn't mean you have to engage in the social institution called monogamy and marriage. That shit goes on a farm. I have a whole nother presentation to explain how your household look, and it's a book called Animal Husbandry. The Science of Animal Husbandry. The book talks about how to domesticate farm animals, but you can relate it immediately to some of the shit going on in these houses, in these homes, in these relationships, in these marriages. In terms of domesticating the woman, it's real. Putting her in her place is real. But you have to put up with what you have to put up with, what you allow yourself to put up with. Nobody can affect you negatively in this world, man or woman, if you're listening, unless you believe they can or you allow them to. There's no war opinion in nature between men and women, male and females. So if there's a war between men and women in society, then society is not this is not natural. You're not well. You're not well. Someone is keeping you socially sick, probably. On tilt, off center. Because male and female is balanced when they're together. But if I can keep them off center, rocking back and forth, I can control them. Excuse me, guys. We're going into our call-in section. Grab some water. We're going into our call-in section. I'm going to turn my chat room on, guys. I call this Your Time to Shine. I set aside a whole half of this show for call-ins and listeners. At this point, at a certain point, like right now, I open up my chat room. I give out my phone number. And I leave my lines and things open in case someone wants to comment on this issue of the war, so-called war, between men and women. Is that a real thing out there? I remember the feminist movement and all that stuff, but is that real today? Our phone number is area code 563-999-3531. 563-999-3531. My chat room is open. I'm monitoring that chat. Call me. You go straight onto the line, onto the air. Everybody will hear what you have to say, and everybody will hear my response. I'll be monitoring that chat, so if you put questions or comments or concerns, et cetera, in that chat, I'll be able to respond to you in the chat or take your question over the air if you like. This part of the show, I call it Your Time to Shine. This is a call-in show. Ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to give you a little music. I'm going to give you a little music, or you decide if you'd like to communicate an idea towards this subject matter. Here you go. Thank you. And you're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Block Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gary. Revolutionary Life, guys. We're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. Today's Friday, so you won't see us again until Monday. But tonight, I want you to keep in mind that all of our shows are archived. And so we have an on-demand section on this site. If you're on this site and you stroll down, you will see an on-demand section showing all of our previous shows. And it's quite a few of them, guys. Pick a topic, and we talk about everything here. If you'd like to follow our show, there's a follow button up in the upper left right-hand corner of your screen. Excuse me, I'm not on that screen, but up in the upper right-hand corner, I believe, of that screen, there's a follow button. If you hit that button, you will be notified when we're live. Across from that follow button, guys, there's a share button. We got to learn to share in this world. So across from that follow button, there's a share button. If you know somebody who might be interested in engaging in these conversations, this is a call-in show, by the way. So if you know somebody who might want to engage in these conversations, for sure, be sure to share it with them. No problem. Like I said, this is a call-in show, so I devote half the show to my listening audience. I keep a chat room open, and I got a phone number. And so we're in that part of the show. I call it Your Time to Shine. It's a call-in. My number is area code 563-999-3531. 563-999-3531. Call me. You go right onto the air. Everybody hears what you have to say. Everybody will hear my response. I got a chat room open. I'll be monitoring that chat. Let me give you a little music while you think about that. I'll be right back. listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gary. We're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We talk about those things that affect our lives every day, all day. Difference is we address these issues from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change. And there's a lot of stuff out here that's changing. But one of the things is our relationships. Tonight we've been talking about men and women, men versus women. And is there a war of the sexes? And I told you if there is, it's a contrived one. If there is, it's an unnatural one. If there is, it's an artificial one. It's a superficial one. And when we fall for the okey-doke, who wins when we battle? The system wins, baby. The sheep herder wins. You're just a sheep. What happens when we break up families? What happens, guys? What happens when two people together, all of a sudden, they have a divorce, the woman take the kids and the house and whatever, and now there she is, a single mother. Boom. So she could start out a single mother. Or she could go down and get married and end up a single mother. But you can't fool Mother Nature. There are no stay-at-home moms in nature. That's why beating your woman and domesticating your women and oppressing your women seems so necessary in a patrilineal society. Keeping a woman in her place seems so necessary in a patrilineal society because it's not her place. That's why it's so hard, guys. It's artificial. It ain't real. It ain't Leave It to Beaver. It ain't Father Knows Best. The social arrangement has changed. When men did the work, when men were needed, when women weren't not needed, they allowed for the male to run shit. When men got too uppity and started demanding better wages and working conditions and whatnot, they hit the market with women competing for the same job. Wages went on back down. They were new to the labor movement, many of them. I told you my mother crossed the picket line, first good job she ever had. They're using you, and they're using this war between the two to benefit corporations, the system. It thrives off your marriage, your joint filing of income tax. It thrives off your divorce. They got whole divorce courts now. Why would they have a whole court that were dedicated to divorce? Because it's big business now. Marriage, monogamy, it's what you do on a farm. Sheep is what goes on a farm. A woman don't have, a female doesn't have very many choices to pick from on a farm. As a matter of fact, sometimes they will decide whose sperm get injected into her. Yeah. On a farm, if you got horses and cows, you might go buy the sperm of a steer and inject it hypodermically into the womb of a female cow, because you want that generation of cattle. And the only way to get those traits in the newborn is through sperm and egg. So farmers will buy sperm from other farmers to inject in their female cattle. In nature, she would pick and choose from among the best. But on a farm, she don't have a choice. That's monogamy. I told you that in nature, it seems like it's the woman's job to better the next generation, to keep the species advancing, because she looks around and picks traits. She's looking for traits. She's attracted by traits. And the only way for her to get those traits that she's interested in passed on to her kids is through sexual intercourse. But she don't want to evolve down. She wants her kids, just like you do, she wants her kids to live a better life than she did. Right? So in nature, a species is going, she's going to see that a species progresses and adapts. If the climate changes and becomes very cold where it used to be warm in that area, now all of a sudden the weather is cold all the time. She, the female animal, is going to notice if the males with the short hair cannot suffer through the winter. She's going to notice if the males with the longer hair seems to be able to endure better in this new climate. And 5 will get you 10. The next generations you see of the little puppies or the little calves or the little cubs or whatever is going to have longer hair. Because she's going to pick that trait for them, since that trait seems to her to be the way up. In a society, if straight hair and light skin is the way up, it looks like to her, it's not uncommon for her to seek those traits in men. And the only way for her kids to have those traits is to have sex with those men, have babies by those men. She's looking for traits by nature. And those traits is so that her kids can live a better life than she did. So they need all the characteristics necessary to make their lives better. And she will seek those characteristics out. Physical ones out in the male. Those physical characteristics. Perhaps mental skills or something, I don't know, in this society. But nature, skills in nature mean something too. I mean, the female is watching all the time. And when mating time comes around, she knows where to go. And the men are fighting each other among the deer around mating season and the other mammals, bumping heads in front of the females. It's all about the females at this point. And they're watching. It ain't about fun for her. It's about her kids being better, a better generation than the one before. A more able to survive generation than the one before. I told you about the queen bee. She's the only bee that flies straight up in a straight line, as fast and as far as she can. And only the bee that can catch her will mate with her. She's not doing that for fun, y'all. She's looking for traits. Because it seems that in nature, her job is to advance the species and make them more capable of surviving than the species before, than the generation before. What's going on the farm is monogamy and marriage. So if the guy you marry got short hair, and the temperature changes the environment changes, you don't have an option to have your kids by a man with more hair who lives better through the winter. All your kids will have short hair regardless of the change in climate, the change in society. If you don't have those traits, if he don't have those traits, your kids won't have those traits. On a farm, in a domesticated situation, you don't even get a chance to decide. Women don't get a chance to make that decision. They don't have much to choose from. You ever wonder, guys, why when they go out, when they try to get a panda bear to mate, they would go find another panda bear, male panda bear, and put him in there with the female. And then they'll watch them to see if they're going to mate. They put two pandas in a cage together. Now, she is no longer in the wild. She no longer have pandas to choose from. And maybe this guy doesn't fit the bill. And they wonder why she won't have sex with him. He's a panda bear. We put him in the cage with her. There they are in the cage. He's a male. She's a female. Why won't she have sex with him? Because that ain't what she's looking for. You put the wrong dude in there. Because the females, in nature, it seems, pick and choose. Oh, yes, they do. I told you. The male is the peacock with the feathers, with the beautiful feathers. That's the man. The peahen doesn't have beautiful feathers. But that's okay because it ain't her job to chase the man. The man's job is to attract her. That's why he has the feathers. That's why when she shows up, he spread them big feathers out and strut around to get her attention. Just try to tell her, I'm the best one for your next generation. And so, guys, there's no war between men and women that is not a contrived, unnatural one. And it's a direct result of a patrilineal society that treat women and have treated women for hundreds of years as property. And their job was to domesticate the woman. If you don't believe me, pick up a book called Animal Husbandry. The science. This is the science, guys. It's called The Science of Animal Husbandry. Husbandry. Animal husbandry. A wife has a husband. And his job is to practice husbandry in his house. I told you I did a whole thing on that where I showed how that animal husbandry and the domestication of animals on a farm plays out in your home. This is a social thing, guys. This is pushed by society. It doesn't work. We have the high level of divorces and violence in the homes and all this kind of shit going on because it's unnatural. I know you think you're better than nature, but it was here before you got here, and it'll probably be here when you're gone. It's unnatural, which means it's artificial, superficial, fake. That's why it don't last. That's why it's such a job. I want to thank everybody who listened in tonight for listening in tonight. I'm here every weekday night, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Don't forget, we'll be back here Monday at 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Gary. You've been listening to Revolutionary Life tonight. I want to wish everybody a good night. I'm going to give you a little music as we go out. You take care, and I'll see everyone on Monday. Adios, amigos. Buenas noches. Au bono notte. Ciao. Here's a little music as we go out. Thank you.